stories of great Christians. From the Department of Broadcasting of the Moody Bible Institute, we bring you Chapter 12 of Saint, the story of Nate Saint, missionary pilot. On December 30th, 1948, MAF missionary Jim Truxton sent this telegram to Los Angeles. Quito, Ecuador to MAF headquarters, California. Violent turbulent air caused crash at Quito Airport. Nate and two passengers not critically injured. Plane washed out. Details following. So ended the service of Nate Stinson Voyager. Nate described the crash soon after in a letter.
The takeoff was perfectly normal until we were about 200 feet above the rather large Quito airfield. Then a sudden and violent downdraft caught us, and we started dropping like a stone. I can't remember a thing after seeing the ground right in front of us. Mrs. Tidmarsh did not lose consciousness at all during the crash. She told us the story of what had happened. Her son Robert was free and screaming with fear, pretty well cut up on the forehead and foot. Mrs. Tidmarsh herself was hanging by her safety belt and was unable to get it loose. Her nose had a mean gash across it. Her forehead was cut and bleeding, and both ankles were pinned. She said that I was very animate the whole time, asking her if she could get loose and talking about this and that. She says that I did get my belt loose, but that my body was pinned between baggage and the control wheel, and my left foot was securely pinned. An Ecuadorian Air Force truck rushed us to the Ayora Clinic at the direction of Mrs. Tidmarsh. She's 5 months pregnant, by the way. The baby is okay, praise the Lord. In addition to the cuts and so on, it was found that Mrs. Tidmarsh had broken the small bones of both lower legs, and Bob escaped with minor injuries.
As for Nate, he left the operating room looking like a living mass of plaster. The doctors shot him with a dose of happy juice, as he called it, arched his back into a normal position, and covered him with plaster from his neck to just below his waist. Another cast surrounding his left foot completed the outfit.
You know what you look like?
The abominable snowman?
No, a singer dress model.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Well, you do. It has a bustle and everything.
Well, that's so I can sit down.
Anyway, it certainly makes you stand nice and straight.
If I stood any straighter, I'd be looking behind myself.
Here, let me help you.
Oh, I can sit down all right. Oh. Well, maybe I could just use a little push. Thanks. I should be helping you do these things. You're the one who's expecting a baby any day. You sure don't show it.
I don't?
Oh, well, you show it. You just don't show it. I mean, you don't seem to get tired or nervous or hungry for pickles or anything. People will wonder whether your appointment is with the baby clinic or the dentist.
Oh, I almost forgot. A letter came from your brother today.
Oh, really? From Sam? Probably wants to tell me to leave the flying to him until I know how to handle a little downdraft.
No, he doesn't. I already read it. Look. Look what he says. Right here in the second paragraph, see?
Mm-hmm.
It seems clear to me that a gust petered out and left you sitting there with a stalled airplane on your hands. You did the only thing possible you could have done from that altitude. Make it as soft as possible.
Well, I'm glad it's clear to him. I don't suppose I'll ever know if I could have avoided it by a few tricks I didn't think of in time. I mean, I didn't try everything.
You didn't have time.
Well, next time I'll be ready to try one thing after another automatically. And if I ever fly around these hills again, I'll give myself about three times as much margin.
On the ninth day after the crash, the doctors decided Nate should be flown to Panama to have his back further examined by U.S. military doctors. The day after he left Quito, Marge gave birth to a healthy baby girl, whom they had decided to name Kathy Joan. Nate received the news by telegram and hurried back as soon as the doctors would let him. Before the Saint family left together for their base in Shell Mirror, Nate was asked to speak over HCJB radio at its broadcasting station in Quito.
That was the old-fashioned Revival Hour Choir. Good morning. If you just tuned in, you're listening to HCJB Radio, the voice of the Andes. No matter which side of the equator you got up on this morning, you should be experiencing some beautiful weather today. We'll have some more beautiful music to go along with the weather. But first, we're going to hear from a man who very nearly lost his life just a few short weeks ago. He's standing in the studio with me now, and he's wearing a... Well, I guess you'd say he's wearing a body cast. About the only parts that aren't covered are his arms and most of his legs. But he's praising the Lord this morning. His wife just presented him with a daughter a few days ago. His name is Nate Saint. He's MAF's first missionary pilot here in Ecuador. And I believe he said he'd like to talk about expendability? Nate?
Thanks, Tim. You know, a fact that is mixed in a very important way with our work is the thing that commonly became known during the last war as expendability. The flying business is full of illustrations of this basic principle. See, during the last war, we were taught that in order to obtain our objective, we had to be willing to be expendable. And many lives were spent paying the price of our redemption from the bonds of political slavery. This very afternoon, thousands of soldiers are known by their serial numbers as men who are expendable. Now, we know that there's only one answer when our country demands that we share in the price of freedom. Yet, when the Lord Jesus asks us to pay the price for world evangelization, we often answer without a word. We cannot go. We say it costs too much. God himself laid down the law when he built the universe. He knew when he made it what the price was going to be. And the Lamb of God was slain in the counsels of God from before the foundation of the world. If God didn't hold back his only Son, but gave him up to pay the price for our failure and sin, then how can we Christians hold back our lives, the lives he really owns? The Lord tells us that he that loveth his life, we might say that he that is selfish with his life, shall lose it. It's inescapable. Missionaries constantly face expendability. And people who don't know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. But they forget that they, too, are expending their lives. Those who know the joy of leading a stranger to Christ, and those who have gone to tribes who've never heard the gospel, gladly count themselves expendable. And they count it all joy. Jesus said, "There is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, and in the world to come, eternal life."
Even before Nate was free of the body cast, MAF secured a new plane and shipped it down to Ecuador. Nate was anxious to get back to work, but he was also cautious. A shell plane had gone down soon after Nate's crash, taking 2 lives, and soon after, 11 more were killed in an Ecuadorian transport plane that crashed just 35 miles from Shellmira. The hazardous jungle flying that offered nothing but treetops for emergency landings inspired Nate to develop safety devices that had become standard practice in jungle aviation.
Honey, do you have any large cans you can spare?
Well, how large? I'll look in the kitchen.
Well, as big as you can find.
How's this?
Too small. Let's see, what would be big enough? And what about your cooking oil can?
This? It's still got a little oil left in it.
It might work. Have we got another one?
Yes, right here, but it's full.
Well, let's see, we can put the cooking oil into something else.
What's this for?
An alternate fuel system. See, it was for lack of that that Bob Hurst and George Poole crashed here before we came. There are so many points between the tank and the engine where something can go wrong. Well, we all fly with a dual ignition system these days. Why not an alternate fuel system for emergencies?
You can do that with a cooking oil can?
Well, I figure if I weld two of them together, it'll hold enough fuel to get me to safety after most emergencies. I'll cut up a piece of balsa wood from the jungle to cover and streamline the tank, strap it to a strut under the wing, and run a tube from the tank to the intake manifold, with a control rod from a valve in the tube to the instrument panel.
Since then, the Civil Aeronautics Authority approved Nate's alternate fuel system, which today is a patented apparatus carried by every MAF plane. Nate's next invention involved the idea he had first entertained at college one day while twirling a pencil on a string. His spiraling line technique proved itself invaluable in the saving of many lives, and hence many souls, that he flew over the huge village of the Atswaras.
Oh, how do you ever find anything from up here? The jungle looks as flat as the sea.
Well, Frank, usually there are landmarks you get to know, but the Atswara country has almost none. I just line up the last two foothills of the Andes and head straight east.
Finding that clearing must be like finding a needle in a haystack.
We should be there by about now. If we don't see it pretty soon, I'll turn around and try coming back a little farther south. How did you and Roger first find the village anyway?
Huh? Oh, we didn't. They found us. For 40 years, they kept people out of their territory by threatening to kill any strangers who set foot on it. Almost as bad as the Aucas. But then one day, the chief, Santiago, came stumbling out of the jungle to Makuma, looking for a doctor. Turned out, we cured in a day a jungle disease his witch doctors had been working on for weeks. Hmm. And for the first time, they invited an outsider, Roger, to visit them. Now, right away, Roger had them working on an airstrip for you. But no airstrip, no regular medical care. I wonder how far he is on it by now.
Say, we're about to find out. There's the clearing.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay, start letting down the phone bucket.
As Frank unwound the 1,500 feet of cord, Nate began circling the clearing, making tighter and tighter circles. Far below, Roger Udurian and hundreds of Atswara Indians watched the tiny speck slowly appear from behind the plane and follow its circular path.
How's it doing, Frank?
The bucket's starting to travel in the opposite direction we're going. And look, it's directly opposite us now. Now, is it supposed to do that?
Well, just tell me when you have it all wound up. It should start dropping into the center pretty soon.
It is. It's circling more and more slowly. There. It's almost just hanging right over a tree now. Good. And now it's over the clearing.
Right.
And that's Roger. Roger's coming out to reach for it. Yep. He's got it.
Hallelujah.
And he's ripping off the padding.
Here's the phone.
Hello, Raj.
Hey, who's this, Frank?
That's right. How are things down there?
Oh, I'm sure glad you guys came over. Things are under control now, but you should have seen this place 4 days ago.
Oh?
When I got here, half of this crowd was down with the flu. Seems some soldiers passed through, and well, these people had never been exposed to the virus before. If I hadn't had that penicillin with me, half of them would have died by now.
Do you have any left?
Nope, used it all.
Listen. Your life won't be worth a plugged nickel if a few of those characters have relapses and start dying after you gave them all shots. But you know their reputation. Got a work schedule worked out for that strip yet?
Well, we've got this one big stump right in the middle of it, but tell Nate we'll be ready for the first landing Friday morning. Oh, and tell him to bring more penicillin.
And so we conclude Chapter 12 of Saint, the story of Nate Saint, missionary pilot. This is another in the series, Stories of Great Christians, produced by the Department of Broadcasting of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.